Chapter 5. The next 2 weeks flew past in a blur. No sooner had I crawled out of bed, I was rushed to the dining hall with Ella in hopes of catching the last couple of minutes of the morning meal. Even then, I was too tired to do much else besides stare lifelessly ahead. The extra hours I was losing had started to take their toll, and it was all I could do to stay awake. The only thing that made the experience worthwhile was catching sight of Darren across the hall. There was something gratifying about seeing the non-air gripping a steaming mug with the same bloodshot eyes as me. He may have been better at hiding behind a steely composure, but there was no denying the fact he was just as miserable. Alex and Ella at first wondered why I stayed behind studying each night, but it hadn't been hard to convince them I needed the extra time to myself. Both of them knew how slow I was at learning some of the assignments. No one in the girls' quarters even mentioned my absence. I think Ella was the only one who had noticed, but she kept it to herself. Each day was filled with the same tedious coursework as the last. The bright side, of course, was that I was no longer behind. My assignments were always turned in complete, and I could tell from Master Eloise and Isaac's approving remarks that I was no longer a disappointment. Mathematics was still a time-consuming ordeal, but with the extra 2 to 3 hours each night, I was easily gaining traction in the basics and moving on to more complex issues that dealt with warfare and crown law instead. It was a strange schedule, and a tiring one, but it seemed to be working. Still, I was beginning to wonder how much longer I'd be able to hold out. I was doing well in the first half of my day, but 3 weeks of sleep deprivation had weakened my performance in the remainder. I was lagging through Sir Piers's drills and Master Cedric's lessons, and while everyone else had started to improve, I was still as clumsy as the day I had started. To make matters worse, everyone had noticed. The worst embarrassment had come today.
"What is wrong with you?"
I froze, cheeks burning as I tore off my blindfold. The entire class was silently staring. Priscilla of Langley stood in front of me, one large red welt plastering the left side of her face. She was furious.
"Didn't you hear me give the command to halt?"
Sir Piers barked.
I must have missed it.
I had been so exhausted, I hadn't heard anything other than the pounding in my head. Priscilla dropped her staff and stormed off in the direction of the armory. Sir Piers eyed me distastefully.
"If you can't stay awake long enough to hear your commander give you an order, you shouldn't be at this academy, or anywhere near a weapon in the first place."
I nodded, eyes watering, and went to return my staff, avoiding my brother's sympathetic gaze. It was harder to miss some of the comments of the others, however. Several of Priscilla's friends were loudly telling anyone that would listen that my blunder had been an attack of jealousy, since Priscilla was clearly the leading female of our year. I met people's stares with a glare of my own. Both Alex and Ella tried to talk to me after class, but I was too upset to listen to anything they had to say. It seemed that no matter what I tried, it would never be enough. I didn't have enough time to do everything the masters asked of me, and when I tried to make time, my work only suffered somewhere else. My evening became progressively worse when I ran into Darren as he was leaving the dining commons. As soon as he spotted me, a grin spread across the non-air's face. He'd become less icy since we had started our late-night studies, but it didn't mean he had become any kinder.
"What? Do you always attack the blind?"
Darren asked, dark eyes filled with humor. Several students nearby snickered, and my cheeks flushed.
"There's a first time for everything," I snapped. "Maybe I'll try a prince next."
"Raya!"
Alex grabbed my wrist just before I could throw my tray at the arrogant half-wit. Darren laughed and sauntered off to join his table of admirers while I was left brimming with rage.
"What has gotten into you?"
my brother hissed.
"It's not fair," I growled. "I am going to fail this place."
"Then let's have you try something new, not challenge the royal family to a duel."
My twin dragged me back to the table with Ella and the rest of our study group.
"Did you just threaten a prince?" Ruth asked incredulously.
I stabbed at a cherry tomato on my plate.
Wouldn't matter if I did. I can't keep up with Piers's drills to save my life. Darren would have disarmed me in a second. Alex glanced at Ella.
Anything you can do to help our beautiful?
My friend scowled. Am I or am I not the daughter of a knight?
Does that mean yes? I asked wearily.
Ella smiled wide. For the girl that challenges princes, it is most definitely a yes. An hour later, I met up with Ella at the armory for our first lesson. She was practicing some sort of complicated footwork when I arrived, much more advanced than what we had gone over in class.
Thanks again, I said, as she stopped her routine to toss me a weighted staff.
Ella shrugged. I should be doing this anyway. I need it after watching Piers sing that prince and his minions praises all week long. I laughed and matched Ella's starting stance.
It's pretty obvious, isn't it?
It's downright depressing, she griped. I grew up around weapons, and I've trained with them almost as often. At no point should people who grew up reciting their family trees be besting me at those drills. Hold that pose, Raya.
My sore muscles protested as she adjusted my form. Don't I need a blindfold? The girl snorted.
Let's not test your luck just yet.
We began the drill again, only to have her stop me again.
What now?
I was unable to keep the exasperation from my tone.
Stop being so tense, she ordered. If you don't loosen up those muscles, you are going to strain something. You need to be relaxed and fluid when you block, like you are dancing.
I've never danced.
Well, like you are water then, she said quickly.
We began our practice again.
Really, though, no dancing?
You wouldn't have either if you saw what Demshaw had to offer. I attempted a block and overcompensated, swinging wildly to my right.
Ella chuckled.
You'll be doing this dance every day now. I hope it works. We were practicing in the shade of the armory building, but the air was still thick with humidity. Flies swarmed about. I was almost tempted to use them for my target. At least then I'd get some satisfaction out of our endless drilling. I was so exhausted from parrying blow after blow, and after so many endless deflections, it didn't matter that Ella was holding back. I could have been facing the great Sir Piers himself. I took my turn leading the assault.
Will I really get better? I know it doesn't seem that way now, Ella replied easily as she blocked, her voice a relaxed lull in contrast to my heavy gasps for air. But all this, the soreness, even the fatigue, if you keep at it, it won't come any easier, but you will improve.
The burning ache in my side challenged her claim. I swung a more concentrated pass, and for the first time, it met its mark with a resounding smack. Ella actually faltered for a second, more from surprise than the weight of my blow.
Still, it was an improvement. Pain is a sign you are working your body to its limits, Ella continued as we kept on. My dad always said that is why lowborns usually outperform nobility in battle.
She paused and remarked somewhat ironically, though you wouldn't guess it here. Ella lowered her staff and glanced up at the darkening sky.
Well, I guess that does it for today.
I followed my friend to the armory to dispose of our weapons. My entire body ached, but for once I was comforted by the prospect. We've got about an hour left until they make us go back to our quarters, I observed.
Definitely not time to wash up if we want to catch up with the rest of our group.
I eyed my friend skeptically. While she was certainly not sweet-smelling of peonies and fresh linen, her clothes were not nearly as sweat-stained as mine, and the light tint of perspiration on her forearms only highlighted her complexion. I looked like a sunburned rat dripping with sweat.
Yes, I said, fingering my tangled locks and trying not to breathe too deeply into my own stink. That'll certainly be a shame for some of us.
That evening, I spent hours poring over my assignments, fighting fatigue and dreaming of my family back in Demshaw. I missed my old life. I missed my little brother's jokes and my parents' patience. I missed their support. It was nice to have Alex here,
but I missed the easygoing life I had left behind, one where I was not a fumbling mishap among a crowd of prodigies. When I saw the familiar flicker of light emerge from Darren's first floor study, it only fueled my determination. I am no fool. I was not as incompetent as he and the rest of the school imagined. I read about war mages that had fought tens of knights with a simple sweep of their staff, mages who had learned archery only to invoke a rain of razor-sharp blades upon their rivals, mages who had studied the foundations of architecture and then sent their enemies' castles crumbling to the ground. It was time to train. Hard. I had a robe to wear, after all.
Come on, Raya! Pay attention!
I am! I groaned and deflected another blow, scrambling to get my defense up in time. I barely managed.
Again! Ella shouted.
I made another mad attempt to defend myself. And then another. And then I cried out as my friend's staff came into contact with my ribs, and I dropped my pole. I'd guessed wrong again.
Once more, where am I coming from?
She held her stance, willing me to try and see what it was I had missed the first time. I watched my friend closely, trying to figure out where her next strike would be. All signs pointed to a low upswing from the left, but I had made that mistake before, and my ribs were paying dearly for it now. I frowned. Her shoulders were deceptively loose with her eyes drifting ever so slightly to my right, and her hands gripped the staff at a crooked angle. I had seen it all before. What was I missing?
Pay attention. But to what?
Ella had spent enough time reminding me not to be too sure of myself. Any good opponent will try to trick you, she'd said. Anyone that practiced close-range fighting would know the importance of deceit. Let your enemy think they've got you figured out. Make it look like they can see where you're coming from. Not too obvious, just enough so they get cocky. If someone thinks they know your next move, they are more likely to let their guard down.
Look at me, Raya, Ella said again. Where is my staff going to land?
I tried to see the impossible. Sweat stung my eyes as my gaze traveled up and down my friend's build, searching desperately for a sign. Then I saw it. Her knees were lightly bent, feet apart, with the right heel slightly off the ground. It was easy to miss. Her dark boots were bulky and obscured sight easily. But there was a slight indent in the leathers on the right front of the foot that betrayed where she had shifted her weight.
You're going to come from the right with a top swing, I announced confidently.
Ella relaxed her form.
You are learning, she said happily.
A little too enthusiastically for someone that had constantly assured me I was doing well. I briefly wondered if she really had believed that, and then buried the thought at once. It's funny, I noted, as we retired our weapons for the evening. Each day Piers and Cedric ask me to practice in a blindfold, and then you make me watch whenever we train out here.
Well, 4 days with me is not an eternity, Ella replied. And for you, I really think you need a better grasp of the basics. It's a little ambitious what they are putting us through. I think the masters are so used to highborns coming from private tutelage that they forget what it's like for the rest.
My background at least came in handy, but for you it's a matter of tireless diligence. I groaned. For the rest of that week and the next, Ella and I continued our daily practices. It was an endless cycle of madness, but fortunately, I did not fall any further behind. In the meantime, 2 straight weeks with Ella correcting my form and watching my every move had paid off. I was still as sore as the first day I had arrived, but I could tell my breathing was much less labored in the drills Pierce put us through. Even my arms felt stronger. The wooden staff no longer felt like a foreign extension of my arm. Pierce had since stopped criticizing my technique and moved on to some of the other, less fortunate first years that were still grappling with the concept of a proper guard. I had to hold back a small smile when I heard Piers inform Priscilla she could learn from my approach after she complained about the unnecessary repetition. The commander pointed his chin in my direction.
That one may not have your skill, my dear, but at least she's willing to learn.
The ones that need to learn this are the ones that shouldn't be here,
the girl retorted hotly, refusing to cower under the knight's scowl.
Highborn children learn to fight with staffs in their sleep.
Several students gave loud hoots of agreement. It didn't take a mastermind to figure out which lineage they came from.
You would think that, Sir Piers replied idly. And most of the time, you'd be right. But each year I've been here, there's been one or two lowborns who shame all that extra coin your family's put to use. It's the ones that need to learn you should be worried about.
Priscilla flinched and immediately stopped her protest.
The worst thing wealth does is give those that have it a false sense of security,
Piers concluded loudly, addressing the entire group as he motioned for us to dismiss.
You stop trying as hard, and there's always another that will gladly take your place.
Later that evening, my newfound glee was still in full swing when Ella and I retired from the armory. It seemed that Piers's speech had instilled a newfound sense of urgency to some of the more confident first years. We were now one of six small groups that practiced near the building after our evening meal. Most of the students, I noticed, were practicing much more advanced moves than Ella and I, but it was a compliment that they had shown up just the same. Maybe they didn't view me as a serious contender, but now they were at least willing to consider the possibility. Ella turned to me as we entered the library.
Feels good, doesn't it?
I just smiled brazenly.
You smell terrible,
Alex greeted us. The library was packed as usual, which unfortunately did very little to alleviate the telltale odor of my clothes. Ella gave him a look.
Ella, my flower, my sweet, that comment was for my dear sister alone. You smell as enchanting as...
Save your prose, pretty boy,
Ella cut Alex off, laughing. We've got enough to worry about without your attempts at romance tonight. Our study session came and went without much ado. We were mostly silent because the night was our last review of the fundamentals. Starting the next day, we'd be focusing on one faction a week, beginning with restoration. And orientation meant casting. We were all nervous. The tension in the air was thick as we pored over our volumes, each silently hoping that we had learned enough to not humiliate ourselves in the weeks that mattered. The second and third months were when we would lose the most students, according to Master Barclay's ominous admission that evening at dinner.
You can't fake it for long here, he'd warned. Beginning tomorrow, we will see what you can do instead of what you know. Many start to resign because they see what kind of magical prowess they are actually going up against. That, and they can't keep up.
In any case, the entire library was much more quiet than usual. When Barius came round for his usual dismissal, it took twice the time it usually did for him to clear the first two floors. Everyone was reluctant to leave. Unfortunately, that also made it impossible for me to escape to the alcove unnoticed. Irritated, I retreated with the rest of the crowd to my barracks, resolving to sneak my way back at the earliest opportunity. After the constable's final round, I hastily pushed my blankets away and reached for my books in the darkness.
Still at it?
Ella whispered from her bunk nearby. I should have known better than to expect everyone to have already fallen asleep. I clutched my materials and squeezed my way past the scattered belongings strewn across the floor.
I'll see you in the morning,
I told her quietly as I passed her bunk.
Don't be up too late, she reminded gently. We've got our work cut out tomorrow.
I know, I replied, grimacing. I'll try not.
Would you two keep it down?
An irritated voice shot out from across the room. It belonged to my biggest fan, Priscilla. I hastily crossed the room to the door while Ella told Priscilla where she could stick her complaints. Upon exiting the building, I made a mad rush for the back doors of the academy. They were only a couple hundred feet away, but the pathway was completely exposed without a tree for cover. Barius's staff would be patrolling since it was still early on, and the last thing I wanted was to be discovered. I had just made it across and quietly shut the doors behind when I heard a slight squeaking a couple paces to my left. I froze. It was too dark to see,
Holding my breath, I waited, praying whoever was there hadn't heard me. Silence. I waited a couple moments longer, but there was no further sound. Suddenly, a chamber door slammed and I heard two servants' excited voices. They were far enough away that they hadn't spotted me yet in the shadows, but I knew it was only a matter of time. To make matters worse, there was a bright light coming from the furthest end of the hall. The servant's torch was quickly eating away the shadows and casting an unflattering light across the walls it touched. Panic filled my gut. Who knew how far Barius would go if he found me breaking curfew? I couldn't get caught. I felt my way along the rough sandstone wall, inching towards the light, trying to remember if I'd seen a passageway this close to the back entry of the academy. Surely the servants had some quarters nearby. I was in the constable's corridor, after all. The voices were drawing nearer, as was the light, and I knew I had only a minute or so left before I was spotted. I continued my blind fumbling, ignoring the pain in my hand as I shoved it against the wall's uncut surface, desperately seeking a handle or crevice that would indicate a room behind. My hand caught on a smooth, hard panel, and I knew I had found a door. I felt around for the knob and had only just opened it a crack when an arm shot out and yanked me inside. The door slammed shut just as a hand covered my mouth to muffle my cry. It took a second for my fear to subside as I realized who had pulled me back. There was the slightest bit of light coming through the cracks in the wooden frame, and it was enough for me to recognize the face of my so-called captor. Darren quickly let go and motioned for me to stay still. I could hear the two servants just outside our door.
"No, I heard something this time," the first was saying. "I'm sure of it."
"Well, come on then, help me open this door," the second drawled. "I bet you there's a first year hiding on the other side. The constable will have a field day when we show him."
I swallowed and looked wildly to Darren, who stood closest to the door. The two of us were crammed in some sort of storage closet. Giant sacks of flour and wheat lined the shelves, and there was nowhere to hide. We barely had enough room to stand, let alone disappear. Darren didn't look too worried, however. Instead, he put a finger to his lips and then shut his eyes, leaning against the nearest shelf. "Meditation isn't going to do much good when they catch us," I thought crossly. The knob rattled. I held my breath and prepared for the inevitable result. Nothing happened. The rattling continued, but the door stayed shut.
"That's strange. This door doesn't even have a lock. Let me have a go at it."
The metal knob continued to shake, but it was no closer to opening. I looked to Darren in the shadows, suspicious and relieved. The door had opened easily enough for me. It was clear he was doing more than just meditating.
"It's not letting up." "Well, let's check the gardens. Maybe whoever we heard made it outside."
"Must have,"
the second agreed.
"Nobody could have opened this door."
The rattling stopped, and the servant's steps retreated. After a couple of minutes, I willed myself to breathe more easily, taking slow gulps of air.
"They're gone now. Come on."
Darren seemed impatient as he held the door, stealing nervous glances down the hall. I stared at him.
"How did you do that with the door?"
Darren ignored my question.
"Are you coming or not?"
I sighed and joined him in the hall. Darren shut the door behind us, softly, and turned to face me.
"Don't make any sudden noises," he instructed. "There's still bound to be a few more servants up at this hour."
He started off, heading towards the west corridor, and I called out after him.
"Where are you going?"
The non-air turned and gave me an odd look, or what I was convinced was one. I couldn't be too sure since it was dark again without the servant's light in the passage.
"The library. Where else?"
I felt like a fool.
"That's where you're headed, right?"
"Yes." I raced after Darren as he started down the hall.
"Try not to get us caught this time," he said.
I didn't reply, deciding silence was better than the retort I had half a mind to say. He had saved us after all, even if he was being conceited about it.
We made it the rest of the way without any trouble. It seemed the two we had first encountered were the only servants concerned with patrolling the east wing of the castle, and we didn't run into anyone in the west passage leading up to the library either. Entering the giant study, I watched as Darren shut the doors behind us and conjured a bit of light in hand. There was just enough to clear up the shadows between us and cast a dim glow on our surroundings. I cleared my throat.
"Thank you for helping me back there." The words were hard to say.
The prince scoffed.
"I didn't do it for you."
"Just take my thanks," I told him exasperatedly. Whatever his motives were, they had helped me twice now. Darren looked amused.
"Your thanks?"
His expression seemed to imply that they didn't amount to much. I balked. "Well, don't read too much into it. You've been nasty enough that I guess fate was bound to have you do one decent thing for me." The prince recoiled.
"And I suppose you think you've done nothing wrong?" he demanded. "In case you fail to remember, you and that girl you always go around with tried to get me thrown out of here."
"Well, you are a prince," I shot back. "You have to admit it isn't exactly fair."
"I will not apologize for my birthright,"
Darren said stiffly. He narrowed his eyes and added callously,
"I am tired of trying to explain myself to everyone that questions my right to be here, especially people like you."
I glared right back. "I may not be as well off, but even if I was, I wouldn't use bloodlines as a means to demean everyone else."
"I wasn't referring to your trivial heritage."
He looked at me contemptuously.
"I care little enough whether you grew up in the fields or a damned palace."
He took a step closer and looked down at me, speaking the next few words slowly.
"When I say people like you, I am referring to the ones that so clearly have no real magic or potential of any kind."
I clenched my fists until I could no longer feel fire burning in my veins. Prince or not, I had never come this close to hitting someone.
"You?"
I couldn't even come up with the rest. I was livid. Darren continued, unaware of how dangerously he was treading.
"Really, it's unthinkable that the Masters could even consider the possibility of denying me in favor of someone like you who plainly has no purpose attempting the robes in the first place."
My nails dug into my palm, and I was vaguely aware of the warm trickle of blood filling my fist. Heat clouded my vision, and Darren's smug face filled my mind.
"When I say people like you..."
His words were like fire, singeing my skin every place they hit.
"What are you... Stop! Stop!"
My vision cleared, and I saw Darren madly shaking the sleeves of his tunic, flames spouting from its edges. The flames were getting bigger every second and perilously close to his arms.
"Don't just stand there," he shouted. "Make it stop."
I looked down at my hands, which had since unclasped. There was no more pressure or pain. The fire should have snuffed out on its own like it had that time with the moss. Only it hadn't. Just like that other time with the bandit. What was wrong with me?
"I can't,"
I exclaimed, panicked.
"Well, I can't get it to either,"
he shot back.
"My magic isn't..."
He cut off mid-sentence and swore as a flame nicked his skin.
"Raya!"
I raced over and bit back a cry of pain as I helped hold his sleeves while he pulled his arms out one by one. As soon as he finished, I hurriedly lifted the tunic off and tossed it to the floor, stomping out the remaining flames against the black marble.
"You fool!"
Darren declared as soon as the fire was extinguished. The sleeves of his thin undershirt were scorched in several places, revealing painful red swells on both wrists and part of his forearm.
"I didn't mean to..."
"Of course you didn't mean to,"
the prince snapped.
"You have no control over your own magic."
I winced. "Is there anything I can do?" Darren lifted one arm at a time, testing the extent of his injury. "Do you want me to help you back to your quarters?"
He needed to soak those burns before they started to blister. I didn't have to be my brother to understand that much.
Darren laughed hoarsely.
I'm staying right where I am. I didn't come all this way just to turn back.
I gaped at him.
You can't be serious. Your arms...
I've experienced far worse than this.
The prince picked up his books and paper and carried them over to his usual chaise. He noticed my stare and added wryly,
You don't become the best if you aren't willing to stick your hand in the fire.
I always thought that was an expression.
The corner of his lip twitched, and for a moment, I thought Darren was about to smile.
I think it was. Until tonight.
For the rest of the evening, I remained on the first floor of the library with the newly injured non-heir. I could have retired to my alcove, but there was a certain amount of guilt and curiosity that prevented me from leaving. Whatever I thought of Darren, he was never what I expected. I wondered what he had meant by experiencing far worse than this. Darren was a prince. How much suffering could a child of the crown have had? I bit my lip. He must have been jesting, trying to appear valiant, though he was wasting his efforts on me. I was hardly the one he needed to impress. Still, he hadn't sounded like a braggart or appeared remotely interested in my reaction. If anything, there had been an edge of bitterness to his tone. It was unsettling. What did a prince have to be bitter about?
Are you done staring?
Dropping my quill in surprise, I flushed and met Darren's amused gaze. I didn't realize I was, I mumbled. He fingered his burnt tunic.
You know, I was wrong about you earlier.
I gaped at him. Was Darren apologizing?
But I hope you understand why I wasn't wrong to assume it.
I bristled. What are you talking about? Darren pointed to the book in my lap.
We've been down here for 30 minutes, and you have yet to turn the page. For someone so bent on combat, you sure are making a lot of mistakes.
How did you know I was going to pick comp-
Please.
Darren rolled his eyes.
I've seen you in the practice yards. No one spends that much time trying to impress Sir Piers for his charm. It would be admirable if you actually knew what you were doing.
Pray, enlighten me, I growled.
He cocked his head to the side.
Hard work doesn't mean anything here if you don't have the castings to back it.
I glared at the prince.
I have magic. You saw it.
And you just admitted that. Darren raised a brow.
I know, but you aren't trying to develop it.
I am trying.
I resisted, slamming the book in hand. Darren shot me an incredulous look.
You spend all your time in those books and drilling with your friends.
What does that even mean?
I demanded. Darren smiled wolfishly.
If you really want an apprenticeship, I am sure you'll figure it out.
The next morning, I awoke with a sense of dread. My stomach was in knots, and Darren's mocking counsel had done nothing to assuage them. The best first year in the school had insinuated I was making a huge mistake, and instead of telling me how to fix it, he had left me to fend for myself. You spend all your time in those books and drilling with your friends. What was wrong with that? I devoted more time than any other student, with the exception of His Highness himself, to my studies. Wasn't that what I was supposed to be doing? And what did Darren mean when he said he had been right to assume I was one of them? The ones with no real magic or potential. We hadn't even started casting yet. How could he even discern who the ones with potential were without seeing them cast beforehand? He had to be alluding to Master Cedric's lessons. His were the only ones I continued to struggle with. But it was meditation. Who hadn't fallen asleep during it? And sure, I hadn't exactly tried to improve my standing there, but I only had so much time. I couldn't do well in everything. What more could Darren expect of me? Surely learning to fight and Master Eloise and Isaac's lessons were more important than focusing on a blade of grass for 2 hours. And why did it matter anyway? Why was I so upset over something the non-heir had said? He wasn't a master. He was a first year. A very, very opinionated first year. I shoved my blankets off my cot and stood resolutely. Darren didn't know what he was talking about. He was just trying to unnerve me. Maybe my potential scared him. I wouldn't put it past the prince to try and intimidate me into leaving. Determined not to give Darren's words another thought, I hurried to the dining commons to join my friends.
"Ready for a change?" Ella greeted me.
I smiled weakly. "Would it make a difference either way?" Alex chuckled. Ella elbowed my brother.
"Well, ready or not, you two, we are about to embrace the magical realm of blood and bandages."
I groaned. "Lucky us." It was bound to be a long, arduous week.